Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com, or call 910-317-0297, 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Sister Khalida Akbar welcoming you to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. as we highlight the movers and the shakers in our communities that use their God-given talents to help remake this world into a better place for all people. We hope that you like that new intro. I am still missing Ms. Sister Martha Nala's beautiful voice. But we are getting used to it. We are changing and transitioning into a new day, embracing the new, but also holding the old dear to us. So we hope that you guys will give us some feedback. And tonight, inshallah, we are going to start out with an ayat from the Holy Quran. Our topic is gratitude, and we would like for you to share what you're grateful for. We touched a little bit on it last week, and we are continuing this week. And then, inshallah, we'll go back to our guest speakers and also highlighting the topic of wanting for our brother and our sisters, what we want for ourselves and our families. And what does that look like in practical application? So we have a caller already in queue. We're going to go to Brother Bilal. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Bilal, and welcome to Narrative Aspirations.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. You know, you helped me get on the road to something that was inside of me, and I want to kind of show you a little bit of what I'm doing right now. Okay. This is a play that I'm writing. It's gonna be a little bit of it. And this is a brother here. I'm in New Orleans, and I'm just coming into Islam, and I'm just coming out the street. And I met this brother in the community. So let me I'm gonna give you my dialogue, my conversation. I was given, and then how I was interacting with him. No, I'm gonna do it like this. I'm in Mississippi by my grandmother. John Jr., I haven't seen much of you. So tell me, what are you doing with your life? This is me. Well, I'm a golfing person, and I'm living right. My grandmother. You had good parents, but they died too soon. If they could have, they would have given y'all the sun and the moon. I'm so glad that I get to see you now. You are lost, and now you are found. And this means just setting the page, showing the reader something. Jackson, Mississippi, this is not the place for me. My emotion had me thinking irrational. I'd rather be around people I don't know. Things were so wild and crazy when I was out on the West Coast. The South seemed too slow. When I was out there, it was about money and dough. A world of crime, easy to lose your soul and mine. Now I'm calling up this brother called Abdullah. Malaya, assalamu alaikum. How your family doing? Loving Jesus and satisfied with the way they are living. Our elders are so settled in their ways, it's hard to shake their faith. Better just move out the way. The devil got them, and we are a problem. We got to love them. Just leave them alone. We don't know. Allah might send them the right way, and we might be thinking wrong. They will have some of us singing a sad song. I was thinking about coming home. They showed me a lot of love and concern. Allah has me firm. As I return, there's so much I need to learn. And this is Abdullah. Kareem, miss you. You're always looking for someone to help him sell papers and propagate. He is very strong in faith. Hopefully, he and I will get married someday. But now, what makes us strong is our belief. So we won't accept defeat. Our prayers give us peace. Allah has always given us what we need. Just for now again, all praise is due to Allah. He loves the creation life. You were born to be manager of the earth. Have his common sense. Tell us to keep God first. You accept what is best. We will never accept less. A new genesis for America. The world is benefiting from our intelligence. Yeah, that's enough for that. But that's what I'm doing. I'm doing a book. What they call it, fictional book, and I got characters I'm making up, and I'm taking them, you know, through it. So inshallah, I'll be like one of those writers where they constantly every few months over there when I'm writing a book, and we be doing it like that.
Inshallah. And thank you for sharing all about your thoughts and your tafsir actually. On life experiences and what you take from being a Muslim. So I am delighted to have you on here, not just on Narrative Aspirations, but every show consistently year after year, giving of your soul. And may Allah reward you that I am grateful for you. And tonight we are definitely talking about gratitude and things you are grateful for. We hope that our listening audience are tuning in. They're tuning in to A Time to Be Grateful that's coming up soon, next week in Washington, D.C. If you didn't get your ticket, go ahead and Google A Time to Be Grateful. And most of the people in our community know what it's under. So, inshallah, they know who the host is. So, inshallah, we will see you there.
Yeah, my father, he's part of that program. Alhamdulillah.
You are?
Assalamu alaikum. No, my partner doing the book that. Yeah, he do the editor, and me and him working on this together.
Oh, yes. Okay, we'll be looking for it then. Wa alaikum as-salam. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yes. So, callers, thank you for listening in and sharing. We are going to go to an ayat from the Holy Quran, the family of Imran. It is Surah 3, Ayat 118. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. O believers, do not associate closely with others who would not miss a chance to harm you. Their only desire is to see you suffer. Their prejudice has become evident from what they say, and what their hearts hide is far worse. We have made our revelation clear to you, if only you understood. Here you are. You love them, but they do not love you, and you believe in all scriptures. When they meet you, they say, "We believe," but when alone, they bite their fingertips in rage. Say, O Prophet, may you die in your rage. Surely Allah knows best what is hidden in the heart. When believers are touched with good, they grieve. But when you are afflicted with evil, they rejoice. Yes, if you are patient and mindful of Allah, their schemes will not harm you in the least. Surely Allah is fully aware of what they do. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth, and one of us, maybe all of us, needed to hear that tonight. I just opened up the Quran, and there it was, and I just started with the first ayat. So may Allah protect us. May Allah bless us with his guidance, mercy, and favor. Amen. So tonight, again, we are talking about gratitude, and I want to start out being grateful to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for allowing us to come into contact with this deen of al-Islam, whether it is through first generation, second generation. It's just a beautiful thing. And we are grateful that we have were chosen, because we believe as Muslims that Allah makes Muslims. He is the only one who can see into someone's heart, and he is the only one who can make Muslims. So we are grateful to be able to experience this deen. We know that being a believer is even a little more further than being a Muslim. Believer is one who believes in his heart that Allah is Akbar, and he submits his will to the will of God, and he has faith even in when times get tough. The believer stands strong in that faith disposition, and they act according to what Allah inspires and guides them to do. So we are just grateful to be believers, okay? And we thank Allah for making us Muslims, bowing and submitting to his will. So with that said, we are going to talk a little bit about family, because when I looked at that ayat, it says the family of Imran. So we want to start out being grateful for our family, and we want to look at what our family means to us. Please feel free to press 1 and share. Family is our foundation for everything that we are. We get our first hugs, our first kisses, our first words. We get our value system from our mothers and our fathers. We get our disposition a lot of times from the environments that shape us. So it is very important that we honor our father and our mother, and not just in words, but in deeds, in our respect for them, and in modeling the way of life that is appropriate and respectful, because a family name is important. It holds value, and your name holds a lot of weight. People honor and respect people who are principled, who have self-respect, and also who live their life in the best way, are kind, honest, caring, truthful, just like Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want to make sure that we are grateful for our family. We don't want to take anything or any family member for granted. We want to, as the saying says, give them their roses while they are alive. That means spend that quality time, right? Give them a phone call, check in on them, and make sure that you are at least having time to speak and dialogue and communicate effectively so you can understand what it is that their needs are, what their goals are. You can share your inspirations and aspirations, and you can help make those things happen. When we do that, when we work with our family, we are able to aspire to go higher. We're able to create generational wealth that we can pass down from one generation to the other, and we can share those family traditions, that culture, those family heirlooms that we hold dear, and we know the history behind that, that gives us a sense of our cultural identity and also a family identity. That is very important. And you have to know, and you should know what your family name means. We know our names are all attributes of Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we want to continue to live up to them. We want to make sure we know the meaning, we know how to apply it, and we implement our names. I know Akbar means God is bigger, greater, more important. And so whenever I have something good or something challenging, I say, listen, Allah is bigger, Allah is greater, Allah is more important. That will keep you humble, that will keep you grounded, and that will keep you looking towards the bigger picture and building your future and striving to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most excellent way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to bring to him a sound heart. When we read the Quran, we see that. Bring to him a sound heart. So when we eat, when we go to Salat, we don't want to have a clouded mind. We won't want to have anger, emotions that are unhealthy for us. Sometimes I understand that we know we need to take things to Allah, and we may have, we may go to prayer with tears, a broken heart, other things that are worrying us about the future. But we know, again, that Allah, he is bigger, he's greater, he's more important. And when we submit our will to his will and we do the things that he loves, he will bless us, he will enrich us, he will remove that hurt or whatever it is that's ailing us, and he will replace it, as he says, with something that is better. So, mashallah, so we are grateful for that tonight. We are grateful, number one, for being Muslim, and even more importantly, believers, a believer. As you notice in the Holy Quran, it says, O believers. It doesn't just say, O Muslim. O ye who believe. Allah wants us to go deeper than just being a Muslim or wearing a title of a Muslim. We can say we're Muslim, we pray five times a day, we can wear the garb, the beautiful hijab, or the kimars and the kufis. And, you know, we dress beautiful. We have a lot of stylish, authentic clothing. We're modest, we're decent, and we're also beautiful, and we're grateful to Allah for that. At the same time, we want to make sure that our hearts, they are covered with Allah's love and his blessings, and they're not holding any hate, any bitterness, and any discomfort, because Allah says to bring to him a sound heart. And when you put him first, you can shake things off a little easier than when you put all your eggs and you're fully vested in this material life. You can get caught up if you're not careful. So make sure that you keep the bigger picture in that mind. You know that Allah is what? Bigger, greater, more important. And I want you to reflect on your name tonight and press one to share what your name means and how that has helped you to manage your life in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to give a shout out to Sister Layla Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Alale's daughter. I want to give her a happy anniversary, of birth. That's what I was trying to say, because we really don't like to say happy birthday. So a happy anniversary of birth, because we only have one birthday, but our anniversary comes every year, and she is a beautiful sister, and may Allah continue to bless her and her family to reach their goals, their aspirations, and also to continue to please him and represent her beautiful family name and the contributions that Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alay, brought to our community. Ameen. So we're going to go on to the next thing on the list for us tonight. We want to be thankful for education. And why I say that is because education is a game changer. Education is one of the ways that, as the students say, they can come up in the world, which means they can move up the ladder. They can move up the ladder of financial gain, but also they can have a seat at the table with the so-called elite, the people who have higher-level thinking skills, the people who are not sitting on the sidelines griping about who's in office, but they have a seat at the table. They have the seat at the table at the White House. They have a seat at the table when the politicians are getting together and planning what they're going to do. They have a seat at the table in the educational arena, at the school board, superintendent level, teacher level, the people who can make change. And the reason that it is important for us to be at those tables is because that is the only way you are going to be able to impact change on a broad schedule, and also on a broader perspective. We want to make sure that we are keeping up with those annual changes that come about. We know education is constantly changing, constantly evolving. So we want to make sure that we are on top of our education. We are keeping up with the current trends in education. STEM has now become STEAM, science, technology, engineering. Art is not just science, technology, engineering, and math anymore. The arts have came in big and strong, and they're recognizing that art is a part of culture, and it is a way that children, adults, and the world expresses themselves. And it is very important and actually is one of our four birds that we are using to rebuild and make this world a better place for all people. And it is an ideal and a blueprint given to us in the Holy Quran and explained by Imam W.D. Muhammad's tafsir as the four birds. And we are grateful for that. And they are business, education, culture, and government, I believe. And if I'm wrong, correct me. I know it's religion, but we always say religion goes with culture. And we know that those are interchangeable. But we know that we need those components to build a model community for all people. We're definitely going to have our business people. We definitely need education in schools and institutions. We definitely need culture. We need to know who we are, what we are about, our food, our clothing, our religion, our customs, our traditions. We know that our oneness, the way we view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are a monotheistic religion, and we put nothing or no one above Allah. So, and then the last one that I believe is government, and that goes under economics, goes under that. Politics goes under those. So those are the four components, overarching components that we need to build that model community. So we are on instead of aspirations, we are aspiring to go higher, and we are remaking the world into a better place using those principles. We are going to take a short station break, and when I come back, I'm going to look in my queue and see if there's anyone, press one, who would like to share how they are being grateful tonight. We are talking about gratitude again. And, yes, we're going to delve a little deeper. Unless you have more to share, I'm going to get a little bit deeper on what gratitude is and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we need to be grateful so he can bless us with even better circumstances, better resources, better health, better outlook, and better perspectives. I don't know about you, but I have grown so much in this year. It's not even funny. I surprised my own self by being focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best thing that happened to me during the pandemic was having time with my own thoughts, in my own space, keeping myself pure, reading the Quran, fasting, keeping my mind, body, spirit clear. And Allah has really blessed me to see the world in a whole different perspective in terms of what my job is as Khalifa. It's just a natural, and I'm so grateful that I was able to have that time for self, to self-reflect. And he set some beautiful, strong people who had like minds and like nature, and the dialogue was amazing. And it's like when we hear each other, we talk, and we see that, those people, we continue to evolve, and we continue to touch bases here and there, and they're just doing some phenomenal things. And so we want to continue to motivate each other. I'm looking at the queue, so excuse me, to motivate each other and to be on top of being the best Khalifa that we can. We'll be right back after this station break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Abdul Shaheed. Please tune in every Wednesday at 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Optimal Health. We discuss health from a natural and scientific perspective and what must be done to achieve optimal health. To your optimal health, optimal health is within your reach. Peace.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Back, and we hope that you join. It's all about courtship and marriage. It's all about courtship and marriage, and it's on Tuesdays, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please tune in for that. That is a very excellent show by our beloved Sister Munira Habil. And Imam DeLacy Umar, who recently married, mashallah, Allah was able to bring them together over the airways of American Muslim 360, and we may Allah continue to bless them and prosper them. So tonight we are talking about gratitude. What are you grateful for? We talked a little bit about education and how that's a game changer. It really is. When you know more, you do more. When you know it's how to eat healthy, you, inshallah, eventually you'll come about to make those small choices one step at a time that will help you get on the right track if you're not already there. When you know that reading is fundamental, you'll read more and you'll grow your brain and use new words and you'll be more comfortable speaking and using those words interchangeably. When you are actively involved in making the world a better place for all people, you're passionate about it, but you're also knowledgeable about it. You do research, and you look at what is the need in your specific community, and you're able to go after those resources or provide those resources for those people who are looking for a godsend. And many times, we are that godsend. When you find your purpose through serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be a godsend for someone, some people, some family, some community, and eventually the world. The world, you will have something to offer, and you will leave behind a legacy, inshallah, if you follow the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So we're going to check out our queue. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and press 1 to come into the queue. All right. So we're going to step it up a little bit. We're talking about gratitude tonight, and reflect on your day. What were you grateful for today? What were you grateful for? Think about it from the beginning to the end. I'm going to go ahead and talk about Salat. I am grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Salat, because Salat is a way of purification. It is a way of starting over from each prayer, from one prayer to the next. Allah, inshallah, if we're doing our Salat, and we are focusing on Allah, He is blessing us. He is forgiving us. He is purifying us. And He is paving our way to success. We're coming to success, as the call to prayer says. So I am grateful for Salat. I'm grateful for the ability to be able to stop and pause and take time out of the dunya for my Creator and make that connection and know that He's waiting on me to make that. We know Allah doesn't need us, but He has expectations of us. We want to go after the highest level of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to make sure that we're in competition. Allah wants us to be. He said he loves that righteous competition for his sake. And when we have righteous competition, we're not going to just do things any kind of way. We're going to make sure that we are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in that righteous competition. We're not stepping on somebody else's neck or back to get to the top. No, we are modeling appropriate behavior. We are doing things like being honest, trustworthy. We're not backbiting. We're not stealing our way to the top. We're not doing anything sleazy, undercover, backbiting. No, because we know that at the end, those deeds are going to be in vain. We don't want to reach a plateau because we know we are all returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. We are evolving. We know we live in a fleeting world. So we're not, as believers, we know if we are using our common sense that we're not going to take shortcuts that are going to make all of our hard work go in vain, because that just would be so horrible. So, mashallah, we are going to, again, at gratitude and how it will help you prosper in life. Allah says that the human being can have nothing but what he or she strives for. So what does that look like? So that means we have to work hard. Are we grateful for our jobs? What type of work ethics do we have? Are we showing up 100%? Are we showing up, giving it all we have? Are we showing up, making sure that we're making an impact in whatever we're doing? A Muslim is one who puts their best foot forward. They strive for excellence. Whatever a Muslim endeavors, he or she seeks to perfect it. So we are grateful for that tonight. We are grateful to have the opportunity to perfect whatever we are going after. Okay? I'm going to take a moment to give a shout-out to Johnson C. Smith University. It was one of the colleges that I attended, and I'm reading a magazine that's called Pride. And it's Living with Pride, and it highlights a lot of our inner city accomplishments, our African-American accomplishments, and also the world accomplishments. But it reflects on the challenges locally here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it inspires the youth at our school and beyond that. So we're going to read it. It says, discover your golden opportunities. At the highest point in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson C. Smith University is the place where the best and brightest come to shine. Offering excellent student services, highly qualified faculty, and learning and caring staff, Johnson C. JCSU is the premier choice for anyone seeking a privately career-focused education. With small class sizes and relevant experimental learning opportunities. All right, so mashallah, so that is one of the examples of excellence and why education is so important. We are going to take a short station break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about gratitude.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you, and all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Okay, so I am back, and I am grateful for my family, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here with you tonight on this wonderful Wednesday. It is hump day for many people, which means that week is almost halfway over, and we are grateful. We just had a Thanksgiving feast here in Charlotte with my family. I have a beautiful family. I have six sisters. I'm next to the oldest, ranging in the ages of my oldest sister. I shouldn't say my age. She is 2 years older than me. And then we go down a year and a half. So my parents, they had a child every year and a half to 2 years. So we are grateful. And it's seven girls, actually. It's Kimberly. She's the first one. And then Aunt Kalita, Sharia, Tanata, Badia, Anissa, and Raja. So those are our names. And we are grateful. I'm grateful for all of my sisters. They're very professional. Everybody's doing well, and we are just a big family. We have, like, I have a whole lot of nieces and nephews, very fertile, very blessed to have a family. My father wanted sons, but guess what? He has a lot of grandsons. We started out having all boys, but we do have some girls as well. So we're grateful for our family, and most of them have already finished college. Everybody's doing good. We have some in the service, some who are teaching. You know, we're just grateful. Everybody's still alive and doing well. So we're thankful. We're grateful for our life. And we want to make sure that we are keeping our minds, our bodies, and spirits healthy. We are making sure that we are giving to our children, being there for them. Even if you don't say anything, your presence makes a difference. They notice everything you do. So even if sometimes you think that you're not really making a difference in your children's life, being grounded, being consistent, being accessible makes all the difference in the world. Because when they need you, they know you're there. They will come and they will reach out to you. And that is so important that you make a difference, even when you don't know. My daughter recently told me, about a time when she was young and I had brought something to her school. And she had was a straight-A student most of the time, didn't have any problems. That was a beautiful thing that Allah blessed me with as well. Children who were independent thinkers, I didn't have to run after them, didn't have the school calling me all the time, and I was grateful for that because I was able to do more for them because of that. But there was a time when my daughter was a good student, always doing the right thing, not have to worry about her, had left her homework at home. And I don't even remember this because, you know, as parents, we do so many things. And apparently the teacher had a process where she called the students up to the desk and she would give them she told me this a couple weeks back. She just woke up thinking about it. And she's a woman now, has graduated from college, has her own. She's teaching her own students. But she told me, a young lady, she's still in her early 20s, but she told me about this incident where the teacher got to her name because she would go and call the students up, check their homework folder. And this was all the way back in elementary school. And it just triggered a memory, I guess, because that's what she's teaching. And she got to Aaliyah, and she asked her for her homework, and she said she left it at home. And she had earned all these, she said there was some kind of award system the teacher had, golden stars and golden points. But she said that day the teacher just was not merciful. She told her to go get all of her golden stars. And she said when she got up to her desk, she ripped them up and threw them away. And she said she was so hurt, she went back and sat down at her desk. And she said about 10 minutes later, the office called her to the office. And she said her teacher was looking kind of strange, but she gave her a pass to go to the office. And she said, Mom, you had left because you had to be at work, but you know what? You brought me my homework. And I don't even remember that because I know I said, Masha Allah. She said, you brought me my folder with my homework. And I didn't say anything to my teacher. I walked it up to her desk, and I put it on their desk. She said her teacher didn't say anything to her. But after they came back in from recess that day, she had all of her teacher gave her golden points back. But she said she was so thankful. She said she just put her head down and cried so hard. And I said, see, Allah, it works in mysterious ways. But, you know, we never know how we make a difference and impact our children. And so she made me feel really good to know that I made a difference, that I didn't even know. It took all these years for her to even remember that. So Brother Bilal is back. We thank you guys for being here today. We are talking about gratitude. So I would love to hear some of your beautiful voices. If you want to share anything so far, we talked a little bit on education and how it gives us an opportunity to climb the ladder of success and have a seat at the table with the game changers. And like I tell the students, the movers and the shakers. So look at how you're grateful. We're going to go straight to our queue. We're going to go to 908-296. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Narrative Aspiration, Sister Layla. Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is open.
That's my number. This is Shaheed Abdul.
Oh, I thought it was Sister Layla. Oh, welcome, man, Shaheed Abdul.
Yes. Oh, how are you doing this evening? Good. I was here getting my workshop together for a program at I'll be presenting this year at A Time to Be Grateful in D.C. It's going to be a workshop at 10 o'clock. No, it's going to be 8:30, in fact. It'll be 8:30 on Saturday, which is the 10th of December. So I was putting it together, listening to your show. And if any of your listeners come, it's called Knowledge Collection, the Knowledge Collection. That's what it's called, and it's actually going to be a show talking about, it's going to be a workshop, and it's going to be talking about achieving greatness. The dream of our ancestors is our destiny. That's the topic of the workshop, if any of your listeners come. But I did want to say a word or two about what you were talking about and grateful, being grateful. And it was so wonderful, some of the things you were saying. I wanted to just maybe reiterate the part about the birds and culture and what Imam Muhammad directed us to. One of the ways of saying grateful and gratitude is to say full of grace. And that idea of being full of grace is to know that Allah, through his mercy, has graced every human being he created with a powerful potential for growth within them. So the idea of grace is when we fill our life, showing the gratitude by fulfilling the potential that Allah has put in us. When we don't fulfill that potential, and we lay on the side of the street, or we just be tired of doing something because people are beating us down emotionally or whatever way they do, we're not fulfilling that particular potential, and that's a sign of not really being grateful. So being grateful actually means to extend yourself to everything that's in you that Allah has created in you to bring out for the world. So I think that's a very beautiful concept and idea you have here. So, but that's all I wanted to say. So I thank you, and I want to encourage you all to come to A Time to Be Grateful December 9th, 10th, and 11th. And I'll be giving my workshop at 8 o'clock Saturday morning, and it's going to be about Well, you see the sign. The sign is going to say knowledge collection. And it's our ancestors, the dream of our ancestors is our destiny. So that's all I have to say. But thank you so much for the beautiful program and what you're putting together. I really, I am enjoying it very much.
Oh, mashallah. Thank you, Imam Shahid Abdullah. And inshallah, our listening audience will tune in and be able to go to A Time to Be Grateful. It is where everyone who is a mover and a shaker will be, inshallah. I do know that in the past it has been very nice. One of the things that I like that they did was a shout-out across the banquet. They do each state, they call you out because they can tell who registered from where, and you get everybody make some noise from their table. I thought that was real creative. A sister, or Dr. Aisha Mustafa and her staff. So I'm looking forward to that. But I've been going for some years now, and I have met a lot of people who are movers and shakers. And I use that word lightly. They are actually strategic planners. They are actually changing the world into a better place for all human beings. So they're not just moving and shaking and getting a hustle on. They are strategically thinking and planning on how to create human excellence in everything that they do, okay? So thank you, Imam Shahid Abdullah, and we look forward to getting your books. Can you give us a little information about how to get your books? I know you have been a consistent talk show host, so we wanted to give you a break and give you some time for yourself and your family. But we do still value your input. We do value everything that you bring to the table. So can you give us the names of your books and how to get those, please?
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My name of my books is, the first is Success is Automatic. Unleash the power of your industrious nature and achieve your dream. And then there's The River Gold. That's the second book, which talks about the development of the African-American culture and how we the period of time in which we came into the understanding that the economic growth in our community was like a river of gold back in the 1930s. Then the other book is Spirit of Bilal, Community is Born, Calling the World to Human Excellence. That highlights the events that our community has gone through, religiously speaking. Sister Khalilah of religious, being part of culture, and that is an absolute necessity, not just a coincidence. It's a necessity for each culture to have their views on religion, because as you know, most cultures, when they start talking about their religion, they design a deity or whatever to be of their own understanding. It looks like them. It comes from their particular philosophy. So each culture has a right from Almighty Allah to look at the creation themselves and get their understanding about what Allah is doing for humanity. And we have been blessed with that particular situation in America. And this book, Spirit of Allah, points that out. And it shows how we went from all the way from slavery through all the different ideas and concepts of religion. Even go back to Nat Turner, where he was one of the first who started looking at Christianity as not being the same religion that the European had taught in the Bible, that the European American was being more like a devil than like a Christ-like. So he was the first one to start to recognize the value of religion that was different from what he was seeing the European American slave masters present. And then the book continues on up to Father Divine. He was one of the first to come up and show that not only was the idea of God not just being a European, he showed how the spirit of God could be in anybody, an African or African-American or anyone. That's that part of our growth in America. Then also it came from that into the Nation of Islam, how we came into that understanding, and finally came down to the final expression of how we grew in religion in America with Imam Mahdi Muhammad. He made his expression was in religion, showed that he had an insight that took us beyond the simple ideas and concepts of that we had dealing with images and so forth and so on in the past. He said man means mind, which was revolutionary in terms of religion because everybody thought that when Allah said man or in some Bibles or so forth said God said man, it was talking about the dust of the earth being molded with the water, and that is what made man. But what Imam Muhammad brought to our attention and the world's attention, that was only the beginning. What made man was that the mind that Allah was created from, the relationship, the marriage between the spirit of the human being and the intellect of the human being with the physical world, that was man. And that was such a beautiful concept and idea, and that was brought out in this book, Spirit of Allah. And my final book, the final book was Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. That book brought about all the different schemes that were done by the European on the African-American culture. Carter G. Woodson said it so beautiful in his book, Miseducation of the Negro. That was a book that showed how the African was educated by the European American to serve the European American and not to develop the African or the African American. And this book pointed out all of those different schemes all the way back to the Declaration of Independence, Revolutionary War, all of those things where the European had schemes. And we're still living in those schemes today. Many people don't even know the way we are thinking is the way we are taught to think. Why do we call European Americans white? Because they told us that. They told us that because that makes them think they have an edge. They have a certain insight in terms of the creator. They're privileged. And so they told us to use that term white when we were referring to them, when actually it was just a creation in the colonial times. But this book explains all of that, and it gives us a whole new perspective on how we should be viewing the world and what we look like as a culture. And you can reach me and get the book at my number, 908-296-2558. Or you can go straight to Amazon and put in my name or any of the books, and you can get them at Amazon. I also have for you who are interested in getting that whole package, I have a gift in there called The Negro Market. That was a book that was written and put together in 1932. And it's been kept hidden from the African-American public for all those years. But you will be able to receive that too. So just give me a call at 908-296-2558. And may Allah continue to bless all of you, all of us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Again, that number is 908-296-2558. So thank you for joining us tonight. All right, Iman.
You're welcome.
We'll look for your books. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you.
All right, so we're going to go on to our next caller. It is Brother Bilal. And he has already graced us, but we are going to have him grace us again because we are thinking and talking about being grateful. All right, 504-400,
as-salamu alaykum. Wa alaikum assalam, and praise be to Allah, to the audience, and alhamdulillah. You know, when I came on, you were talking about the situation with your daughter, right? And so some of the poem I had read, wrote for your show, and now this is what I see what occurred. Power of intuition is God's sanctuary. We must move out of our comfort zone to progress. Allah gave us creation to pass life tests. We must give foolishness a rest. Too much alcohol, drugs, and freaky sex. We utilize the best in creation to evolve our intellect, five senses, revelation, and mutual consultation, a psyche or soul connection, knowledge from intuition that's out of our control. All praise due to Allah for helping us carry our load. We must be able to take care of ours and other social needs. Let's work harder to establish peace. Prophet Muhammad's lifestyle wasn't wild or foul. Ignorance and non-productive behavior come from denying Allah's favor. You know, when Imam Muhammad, he was talking about intuition, and he said that it's not something that we can just call into existence. So when you were saying what you said, you know, it made me say, yeah, that probably was intuition right there. You know, it just, you know, it came up, and you did the action, and it made everything okay with your daughter at school. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you. Thank you for listening intently. Thank you for that poem of inspiration and beautiful connection. And thank you for being who you are. All right, callers, we are grateful for you tonight. Again, we are going to play a PSA. We are winding it down, and we are asking for you to share your gratitude. Okay, so we talked about anything that you would like to talk about, but we've talked about so far education. We talked about health. We talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we are grateful for Allah and our prayers and making us Muslim. And better yet, allowing us to grow into believer status, because that is what Allah calls us to in the Holy Quran. O ye who believe, O believers. So that is what we are aspiring to be as Muslim men and women, believing men and women, devout men and women. So we look at all those descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to be and who he speaks to, because one of our major goals is to please Allah and return to him pleasing. He tells us again to bring to him a sound heart. And I am grateful of having a heart that is at peace, a heart that generally is good. I mean, I don't feel hate in my heart. I don't feel envy in my heart. I do get upset sometimes, but I've always been the type of person who doesn't hold grudges. It's almost like I don't forget, but my mind just goes on to the next thing naturally, and I'm very grateful for that. I just never knew the value in that until I met people who did not have that same outlook. So I thank Allah for that. I just always had it ever since I was a little girl, call it rose-colored glasses, optimistic, whatever it is, but my mind just automatically looks for something positive, and it actually takes me to that innovative space. If it's not working, how I can fix it, how we can do it another way. It just always has been that way. And then, you know, I can fall out with someone, speak a word, direct it to the right. When I finish, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm still aware, but I'm not looking to hold grudges and be in a space where it impacts my life. I'm thankful for Allah for that, the heart that he's given all of us. And we want to keep it pure. We want to keep it clean. So we want to make our salat We want to fast. We want to give all of our zakat. We want to do the five pillars to a T, so to speak, because that is one of the ways that Allah keeps our hearts pure. And there's a reason why he speaks about the heart. He says, bring to him a sound heart. He didn't just say a sound mind. He said a sound heart. So we need to look at that, and what does that actually mean? It means we can't come to him holding grudges. We can't come to him with hate and envy and spite in our heart. So we have to find a place to live out our full potential. He said his earth is spacious. If it's somebody oppressing or a situation that is not constructive or conducive to your success, you have to find another avenue. And that goes back to that mindset. Maybe we can train our minds to think more optimistic, to be in a space where you don't always look at the glass half empty. And I know a lot of us know that analogy. The glass is half empty instead of half full. When somebody who's optimistic may say, oh, I'm almost there. Somebody who's pessimistic will start complaining. I don't ever have anything. I'm never going to get it. I barely have enough to survive. So it's a matter of perspective, and it's also a matter of keeping a relationship close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving yourself, because when you love yourself, you can go back in that cave of your own self. As we see in Surah 18, every week, alhamdulillah, we were instructed. I believe we were instructed. It could be tradition, but I know that many of us read Surah 18 each week for Friday before sunset on Jumu'ah Friday. And it instructs us. When it tells us about the youth who resorted to the cave. They retreated to the cave. And Allah made right their affairs. So a lot of times we have to retreat. We have to go back into our own self. That could be a cave. And you have to self-assess, retreat, stay away from things that make you feel bad. Stay away from things that bother your soul and your spirit as much as you can, and surround yourself with Jenna here on earth the most that you can. In your surroundings, in your house, we talked about this before, do the things, design your house in a way that is comfortable for you. Make sure Allah is evident throughout your home. You have your Quran, you have your religious or scriptural letters or Bismillah on the wall. Make your house a haven for you, your natural plants, your neutral colors, everything, you know, whatever your personality calls for that brings you peace, because we're all different. But be balanced in that. And the beautiful thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he shows us that you don't always have to be one way. You could be that neutral business person, that very conservative person, and then you could spring out as the seasons change, if you like, and be bold and beautiful and colorful, or you could be a balance of both. So just know that Allah gives us opportunity. He doesn't limit us, and he doesn't say, oh, you're a doctor. That's the only thing you can be. No, you can be an artist also, a singer, a dancer, someone who's creates things, invents new things to help remake the world, a writer. So we have to get out of this Western mindset of I'm going to go to school, I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer, and then that's it. No, we're not going to expand our creativity. We're not going to look for ways to help the world other than through our profession, which is still great. I'm not knocking that, because we spend a lot of time, money, effort, brain power, sacrificing of family and friends and disciplining ourselves to reach those goals, to get those degrees, and then put them into practical application. So we value that because we know that gives us a seat at the table to help everyone else, you know, because we do value education, and Allah tells us to be, it's important. Because he says that we should increase the knowledge, and there is actually a dua. Oh Allah, please increase us in knowledge. Please increase us in knowledge. Please increase us in knowledge. And we can look at Allah's attributes, print them all out if you have to, make you a little, or you can actually play them on YouTube every morning after Salah. But just know that all the things that you want, Allah is telling you you can have if you look at his attributes. He is the greater. He's bigger, greater, more important than anything we can ever imagine. He has more money. He has more power. If the status you're looking for, he gives that. He gives that. You want it the right way, not the wrong way, because the other way, we may have all we want on this side of the world, and we may not make it in Jenna. And I was reading, you know, I know this, but just to reiterate it, because I'm going back, and I have been, alhamdulillah, reading the Quran every morning for tahajjud, getting up, reading that Quran, opening it to wherever Allah blesses me to open it to. But it tells us in the Quran that everybody is going to have to go over the bridge, the sirat, right? We're going to have to pass over the hellfire, right? We don't want to fall in. But everybody, nobody's exempt, even the believers. So we know that we have to make sure that we are striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are striving to do the best that we can to be. And we should say this prayer, oh Allah, give us the excellence in this life and the excellence in the life of the hereafter, and protect us from the torment and the punishment of the hellfire. That is a serious prayer. That's just not talking about physical hellfire, though. It's also talking about the hellfire that can come in many forms from other things on this side. It can come in the form of fitna. It can come in the form of a job. It can come in the form of indecisiveness. And we know that indecisiveness can help make us lag behind. Izzy, ma'am, Shahid Abdullah was alluding to. If you don't go ahead and move on it because you're preoccupied with other things, you may not make that. That's being ungrateful. You're not using the gifts that Allah gave you because you're just not feeling it. You're having a lot of tests, conflict. And if you're sensitive, I get it, because I am too. I'm strong, but at the same time, I can get caught off guard sometimes because I'm not looking for the negative. I'm not looking for that. And when it comes, sometimes it's ugly. And it is the way that Allah lets me know that I need to be cautious and I need to tread lightly in that area and I need to take a step back and be more conscientious on the people, places, and things that I am exposing myself to. And so I thank Allah for that because, you know, you don't want to be overly optimistic either. You want to be balanced. We are a religion, Islam. Islam is a religion of balance, and we are a people of balance. So we have another caller, 90826. Imam Shahid Abdullah, did you have another comment?
I was just listening to what you were saying, and I just wanted to just reiterate to the listeners the importance of paying close attention to the messages we receive from Allah to our own thinking and to make us successful, to make us really live up to our fullness while we have this time in this life.
Alhamdulillah, thank you. And what inspired that thought process? Inshallah.
Excuse me?
What inspired that thought process?
Oh, alhamdulillah. Well, that thought process is inspired primarily by some of the things you're just saying, really. And that thought process is if we listen to each other, we inspire each other because Allah works through all of us. See, Allah just doesn't work through some of the creation. He works the whole creation. So all of us has something in us to help each other. And that's what that is. It's like, you know, like a ping pong ball bounces around. That's the way we can work Allah's strengths to us that he gives us to use it with each other. And as we are inspired by each other, those things cause us to move forward.
And that is so awesome. Thank you for your comments. And that is so true. We can learn from people we don't even like, to be honest. There's a lesson even in that. And not that you don't like the person, but I mean the behavior. But there's a lesson for that. Allah teaches us that there's, like you said, everyone is here for a reason. Mm-hmm.
There's an old saying that a fool can never learn from a wise man, but a wise man can learn from a fool. What proves that point, that we continue to learn.
Amin. Thank you so much for your additional comment. Thank you. I didn't know for sure if you had pressed one, but I'm glad that I did go ahead and open up your mic. May Allah reward you for your sharing. Tonight we are going to start wrapping it up, callers. We are looking for you to share your gratitude. What are you grateful for? How has Allah impacted your life this year? How has the pandemic impacted your life? I know for me, I am grateful for Zoom. I was in my haven. I really was. I mean, I'm peaceful, contributing, doing platforms, doing all types and all kinds of good programming, dialogue, dawah. We're fitting it free. And mashallah, we are back in the house. And Allah says, listen, you had all that time to build up your muscles. Now it's time to implement. And sure enough, I had to use that. All that reading the Quran came back, that studying, that tahajjud prayer. It had me stand up and fear nothing or no one but Allah. And speak a word directed to the right, and I am so grateful for that time in the caves to reflect, to study, and to empower with the Holy Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and working on self. So we have some more callers. We're going to go to – we have plenty of callers, and I'm thankful for you just listening. That is very nice that you're here tonight. 504, did you have another question or comment, please?
Yes, yes. You know, praise be to Allah. I'm thankful for AM360 and CWSC for helping me grow and develop myself in life. And I want to let y'all know that it's my desire to always continue to reverend the wound that bored me and continue to be an asset to the program. So, you know, praise be to Allah, and I'm thank y'all. Thank us all the volunteers and people that call in. And alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Brother Bilal. You are inspiring us tonight, and I am so grateful for you. Listen, I'm right there with you. I am so grateful that I made some choices that were a struggle for me.
Alhamdulillah.
Making decisions. Should I move? Should I do this? Should I... You know, and I stayed in the role that Allah inspired me to do as
praise
a mother, and I see the fruit of my work. That sacrifice was right. He opened doors that what I was trying to open on my own, and he just showed me that.
I could feel your spirit, sister. Praise be to Allah. I'm doing that.
Yes. They all coming out of college. They getting their own houses. They just, Allah just blessed one thing. I said, you know, I made the right choice. And
Allah,
if I had done the other thing, no telling how it would have come out. But the evidence is that even on the other end, that I had made the right choice. So Allahu Akbar, that's all we can say. In thank you for sharing. Assalamu alaikum. All right, so callers, we are moving right along. And I just wanted to read a little bit about what gratitude is and what that looks like in our life. And when we are grateful for Allah, He will show us. He will show us so many things. And the thing is, I'm grateful for discernment because Allah speaks to us on so many levels in the Quran. You could read the same ayat, and we all know that, and get something different a month later or even a day later, actually. But He has really shown up and shown out. When I didn't know at first, you know, listening to other people can confuse you because people are coming from a good spirit. They're coming from a good heart. They're coming from their understanding. But Allah, He wants us to seek Him out. That is the ultimate. He wants us to seek Him out. Yes, He uses beautiful people, and He uses their intellect, and He speaks to us through people who He places in our lives. Yes, and those are blessings that we have to be grateful for. He also instructs us to put our trust in Him, because He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. And so when you're at that crossroad, make sure that you make, after everything else that you feel that you have done or need to do, make sure while you're doing that and after you're doing that you take everything back to Allah and His messenger. You go on that carpet, you make your salat. And my mother told me this. She said sometimes, she didn't say nothing to anybody. She just shut that door and made her salat and talked to God, because she said he was the only one who could understand. And she said she would get one thing from one person, one thing from the other person, and they're coming from their own experiences, and some of it's good, but the other didn't apply. So she just had to shut the door and take it to her Lord. And I looked at that. Look at Mary. Mary, hey, she had to retreat from her family. She had to retreat. Zechariah, people that Allah spoke to, they retreated. They went to the cave, and he said, help. So that gives us, Allah speaks to us. What should we do? We need to retreat. We don't always have to be out in the limelight, in the spotlight, getting all the people, rallying and all. Allah says, retreat, and I will send you help. And he even, and he talks about people that he helped. They were forbidden to speak to anybody for like 3 days. Even Mary, when she was going through her trial of giving childbirth, she made a vow not to speak to anyone. That was a precious moment. Allah needed her focus. He didn't want her distracted, and he didn't want another perspective on it. He wanted her to come to him directly. And there is so many benefits in that for us. We need to make sure that we are putting our trust in Allah, making sure you hold on to that rope no matter what, and making sure that you know Allah is with you. He's with you when no one else sees you. He's with you. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. But we pray that he guides us, and we pray that we make that right decision. And that brings me back to Oedipus. I don't know if many of you are familiar, I'm sure, with the Greek mythology, but one of my first experiences in college was many moons ago, was I had a English teacher, and you know, the teachers, they always can peep out, they say, you're going to be a writer, you're going to be a writer, and before you even realize that, I mean, they told me this in elementary school, but I didn't realize it. I was just writing a jingle because they wanted us to create something about, they wanted us to remember 911 for emergencies, and they gave us an opportunity to come up with something. And I wrote something like, if you're in danger and cannot run, pick up the phone and dial 911. And I got this big reward for it. I think it was maybe in third. But anyway, walking across the stage and getting that, I was just so shaken and so scared. But I remember that teacher, she was like, oh, we had a writer here. That's how they brought me up. And I never on stage, and I never forgot that. And so, mashallah, I did end up writing poetry later in life, though. It didn't come right away, you know, as I was having my children and everything, and they were growing up in Sister Clara Muhammad School, I started writing that poetry then so they could remember things, and it just started flowing. I was like, mashallah. So that teacher's prediction was right. But anyway, just doing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires us to do will help us. But in college, I had an instructor who, he gave us a scenario. I don't know if many of you know the story of Oedipus. He was just doomed because of his destiny. Or was he doomed because of his choices? And basically, to sum up the story, he was asking us, if life is predestined or predetermined, will our actions matter? If we're going to get the same fate at the end of the road, do you think that your life is predestined? Or do you think you have choices? Right? He said, because if you're going to, we know at the end of life's journey, you're going to return to your Creator. So how does that impact your life? Are you going to just live your life any kind of way because you know it's already predestined? Or are you going to make choices that help you, you know, live your life in the best way? Because it's sort of darn if I do, darn if I don't, so to speak, with the other words. But my analogy at that time was, okay, based on what I was taught as a Muslim child, I said, okay, it sounds really good what he was saying, because we were reading the story, we were into it, and I don't remember all the details of Oedipus, but I know he had a gloomy doom. He had a lot of challenges in his life and things that were not right. But we know in Greek mythology there are different messages in them. So you have to look beyond what is there. But I know that the fate wasn't good. And they said he was just doomed from the beginning. But anyway, the answer that I came up with, we had to write an essay. We had to write an essay on it and support our thesis. Do you think life is predetermined? Why or why not? Are we responsible for our actions? Why or why not? And I said, well, we got to be responsible because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's a heaven and a hell, and we will be held accountable for our sins. And then I said, but then again, Dad always told us, my father told us, that Allah knows everything we're going to do before we do it. He knows the day we're born and the day we die. So maybe it is already predetermined. So I went back and forth with that. But then I thought about it. I said, choices. It's the choices. It's sort of like a path that you take. I stay clear of whether it's predetermined. You know, no matter what you do, you're going to end up this way. You're going to leave the earth on this day anyway. Because some things are predetermined. We can't change that. But we can change how we live our life based on the choices we make. And so I believe to this day, I still stand upon that. It's changed a little bit. But the road that you take, if you take a road that is in submission to our Creator, following His guidance, not saying you may not make mistakes, but with a pure intention and guided by Allah, and striving to be the best human being, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or Jews, you will end up on the right side eventually, right? You may have some things, but you're going to avoid a lot of kinks in the road. So you're not doom and gloomed all your life. You have a choice. If you go down the right road, you will be more successful. And if you go down the wrong road, you're going to hit some of those doom and gloom spots that are predetermined on that road, and the good spots that are predetermined on that good road. So we have a caller in the queue. So I guess what I'm trying to say, and sum it all up, is that, yes, it is predetermined based on the choices we make and the road that we take, either the Sirat al-Mustaqim or the road of the Shaitan. Okay, we're going to go to... What are your thoughts? 347-336, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Narrative Aspirations, Sister Mahasin.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you doing, Sister Khalida?
Alhamdulillah, I am doing well tonight. How about yourself?
I am fine, and I'm quite inspired with the spirit. I'm in a listening mode tonight. I'm a regular attendant to the AM 360 broadcast network, and I tune in many times when I just want to relax and listen and be inspired. What a beautiful subject you've addressed tonight, and I really have enjoyed listening to the responses of your other callers, not even thinking that I wanted to push one to come into the queue. But you said something that was very inspiring to me, and sharing a lot about your own background is a gift that Allah has given you. And I'm sure that it impacts everyone who encounters you. It certainly impacts and inspires me. But it brought me to thinking about this concept of gratitude. And, you know, we talk about the attributes of Allah or Almighty God, the gifts that He gives us from Himself. And right, he promised that if we are grateful to him for whatever gifts and benefits we receive, that his response is he will give us more. And I thought about that. You know, I'm a lover of science, so I'm always looking for concrete things, signs in creation where Allah validates and verifies his promise. And it took my mind to a recurring pattern in science and in creation. And I was thinking about the life of the sea life and the shellfish, and that when you walk along the shore of a beach, you eye often is caught by the beauty of different designs and colors of shells, right? But science has proven in doing research that these are repetitive signs that show up in other forms of creation, not just in the snail shell, right, on land, or the snail shell on sea. a clamshell, etc. And these are very valuable designs. Study science. We know it has benefited mankind in his creative aspects. So I ask myself, how does this relate to gratitude? Well, one thing built into the gratitude reward by Allah is that it is self-recurring. It's designed to appear in your life at the point where you provide gratitude, feel gratitude, thank Allah for gratitude. It triggers a recurring pattern of abundance. Allah says he will give you more. So every time we find ourselves in a gratitude space, even for the smallest thing, today happened to be a day of abundant gratitude in my heart. We find that it is quickly followed by abundance. One series of gratitude earns you a reward of abundance, and your gratitude for that abundance makes you earn another award or reward for your gratitude, and it ends up cycling, self-cycling over and over. So there is no end to the benefits of being grateful. They're like the spirals designs we see in animal and sea life. It just goes around and around and around. And in other scientific arenas that we study and notice. And this is a point of assurance for me that you can never discount receiving the abundance and benefit of the feeling of being grateful to our Creator without also earning an award, a reward. And that's exhilarating. It's a never-ending cycle, a never-ending sir. And how generous, how merciful Allah is to create something that when you initiate it, it never ends. As long as you initiate it in the right spirit, for the right reason, it has a self-extending life that never stops. I'll stop right there. Just thought I would share that with you.
Thank you, Sister Mahasan, and I am grateful. We are all grateful for what you share. That is so beautiful and true, and we thank Allah for inspiring you to share that tonight. That is so beautiful, and I'm grateful for Sister Mahasan. She has been one of my people that I admire, one of the strongholds that I surrounded myself with in this year of transformation, and I thank Allah for her insight, and I thank Allah for her being her. And not coming off as she knows everything and not coming off as having all the answers, but allowing me to evolve to my own understanding of things and just giving the examples and her life experiences, which she shared so freely. And I thank her for just being available during those long hours, sometimes of the night. But we made it.
And it's very, very a journey. Very enjoyable, I'll say that. You know, and I know each of us, Allah will send us just simply what we can call encouragement. If we desire the energy to follow the best thereof inside of us, Allah has his servants who he will join us with, like minds and like hearts, to encourage that. So, alhamdulillah, the feeling is mutual, my dear. And thank you so much. And may Allah bless us all. And continue to grow up, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. I used to think Sister Mahasan was looking in my window, because I would call her and she would say something that just happened. How does she know? Are you listening to my phone calls? Why did she say that? Are you serious? This can't be happening. So that's why I knew that Allah inspired us to talk. It was so many times that she did that. She just, anybody could know. There's just no way. She could not know the conversation that I just had with someone else that she can come through and say that, and it's just unbelievable. But mashallah,
remember,
may Allah reward
Allah,
you.
Yes, Allah is a witness to everything. And if we reach out to maintain that connection with him, Allah, that's the part of the guidance. He will, like we say, clue us in. We are connected as human souls. And we cannot, that's how Allah created our connection. And if we believe that and trust it and act upon it, like you're saying, phenomenal things will occur in our life. And that will trigger our gratefulness. And that will trigger more abundance and benefit. I am really going to stop right now. You keep inspiring me.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Assalamualaikum. Right. We do have another caller in the queue, I believe. We have another caller in the queue. So I'm going to go ahead and close out the mic. I don't even see the mic. Let me go back up. Here we go. All right. We have two more people. Three more people. Okay, Sylvie. So we are going to take a short station break, and when we come back, we're going to go to our two callers that I see in the queue. And again, thank you, Sister Mahasan, for your comments. And yeah, that's it. We'll be right back after this station break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, we are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time, 450 years beyond the time of enslavement, here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021.
All right, so thank you for still being here. We're going to go to 504-400. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow, thank you, Masalam. Praise be to Allah. Yeah, that's one of my great people inspiring me, Sister Mahasan. But I want to say this for you, then I'm gonna share experience, right? Soundbite. I mean that public announcement that Martha made. That's something else there. Every time I hear that, I say, man, that's something else. I say, seem like you can't do no better than that. That's a really inspiring talk. I mean, yeah, I love that one. I really love that one. Praise be to Allah. But look, I want to say this experience, right? You was on the phone, and you say, Allah said we judge somebody right and the wrong, right? And then I heard you say, but then again, and then I'm staying on my seat because I'm saying, it can't be no then again. I say, then let me tell you what happened, though. Everything went blank. And so I'm waiting. I said, go over. Something must have happened to the phone. I said, maybe Allah didn't want me to hear this. And then again, right? And so I'm just sitting up here. I said, hold on. So I pressed my phone, and I kept on pressing. I said, this phone just went off. It haven't been a week or so since I had it. And so I pressed it again, and now the phone had restarted it on itself. Because the phone was laying on the bed, and I'm sitting in the chair. So my hand or nothing can't touch the button. But I'm curious, what did you say after that?
What did I say after? Say again. Ask the question again in a shorter version of it.
Yeah,
Could you say that again?
You're saying that, yeah. Yeah. You say, but Allah said that we have to be, the white. No, I mean, not the intent, but our right or wrong that we do. It's going to be judged. And so when you say that, then you say, but then again, and then after that, I didn't hear nothing else.
I was talking about Oedipus, you know, the story of Oedipus. And
And
he was predestined. His life was already predestined, so he was darned darned if he didn't. And at that time, I think I was probably about 18, you know, my teacher had asked us about an analogy of is our life predestined? So does it matter what choices we make if we're already going to end up like a certain way in our life? You know, he said that some people believe our lives are predestined. And he even went as far as, you know, in some religions, they tell you that, you know, God knows what you're going to do before you do it. He knows the day you're born, the day that you die. And how many people believe that? You know, he was really getting us into it. And I was like, I believe that because that's what they tell us as a Muslim, right? You know, but he said, so we read the story of Oedipus. We talked about it. He did some, I don't even remember all the details. I have to refresh my memory with Oedipus. I don't know if anybody here knows about it. I'm sure plenty of people do, many of you readers or writers. But I know that he had some very unfavorable conditions that were predetermined, so to speak, in his life. So he also posed on the opposite side, you know, if we believe in heaven or hell, you know, is it fair? I mean, he was coming at all kinds of angles. Is it fair to be punished if our life is predetermined? What do you think? Write an essay, that's what he gave us, an assignment, and explain your thesis, your stance on it, and then your supporting details, at least three supporting details and a conclusion. And so I came up with, you know, the introduction, of course, you know, the body and then the summary. But to sum it all up, I basically said, I do believe our life is predetermined based on two factors, on a path that we take. If we take the path that leads to the right, I didn't just say it just right out like this. Of course, I had to extend and explain. Please. But if we take the path to the right, which for us is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, then we get what's predetermined for us on that path. If we take the path to the left, that is off the straight path, we're going to have a lot of losses and things that, are waiting for us.
You got it. You got it. You got it. Crazy. All right.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go to 908. Assalamu alaikum. 296. Did you have another question or your hand?
Yes. No, I wanted to just talk, because I'm familiar with the Greek story. And I think the way you answered that in your essay to the professor or the teacher was very, very great. It was absolutely excellent. Their thinking in terms of the Greeks sort of preceded the revelation from Quran. But so when Allah revealed Quran, he said to the creation and to man primarily, he said, kun fayakun, which simply means that be and it is. It lets us know that everything that is, everything that can be, in this whole creation, Allah knows it. There's no formula that would surprise Allah. So no matter what direction the human being takes, Allah already knows where that formula ends up. He already knows where that's going. So he lets us know that there are good and there are bad things. So our choices, as you were saying, are very relevant. We must make good choices. Because if we make good choices, it's like if you walk out into the rain without an umbrella, chances are you're going to get wet. Now, if you know it's going to rain and you have an umbrella, you could take the umbrella and be fairly dry. So this is what Allah is saying. He's telling us this is what the creation is. Now, I'm going to give you the formula of right, and we'll give you what would happen if you don't take that formula. And that's what he's saying. Then he says, you make the choice, as you were saying in your essay. You make the choice. The choice is yours. every human being on the planet has the choice. So no one can complain about, oh, I'm in hell because you made me go to hell. You made me go wrong. No, it's not like that. Everyone has a choice. Each and every one of us is our own conscience, mind. Allah calls it in the Quran, he calls it taqwa. Taqwa is created in a human being which grows into a consciousness that we sort of like interpret as the imam of each of us, in each of us. So we can avoid the very point you made in your paper. We can't avoid that. The choice is ours. Allah didn't take that choice from us in no kind of way. The choice is ours, but he knows every direction we can take. But he's created a beautiful opportunity for us, and the choice is ours. So that was beautiful. I just wanted to comment on your answer there. I thought it was terrific. I hope you still have that answer. You still have that thought.
Yeah, that was so when I was so young. But, yeah, I do. But I have also learned that even if you get off the right track, you can get back on. Even if you make a choice that is not well thought out or a choice that you might have went to without a clear picture, you can get back on track with the help of Allah. If you hold on to that rope, he will bring you back.
Yes.
But
that's why Allah says he's
a fight for it. You got to fight for it. It's not going to be easy as it was before you got out of that garden like Adam and Eve. You're going to have to fight for it. Like Allah said, he's going to put us down here. We got to fight to get back into that garden. But
he's the most redeemer. See, he's the redeemer, meaning that you're going to go wrong. But he opens it up. He's merciful in his redemption of us. So even if we make a mistake, like you're saying, Allah's there to redeem us, to bring us back. See, so all we have to do is have that faith.
I mean, thank you. I am so grateful for you and all of your thoughts and all of your sharing intellectually and from the heart and the spirit. That's what I feel, your spirit. And I thank you as well for being one of those people that have been very inspirational to me in my life this year. Just me growing into another level of higher thinking and another level of a practical application. I'm just a different person, and I know that because the way I'm reacting to things, the way I'm showing up at work, the way I'm showing up, I know exactly what I need to do, and I know what I want to do, and I want to do it. And I don't want to waste time on anything that's going to be counterproductive. I guess we all get like that at some point in our life, but I'm just really focused. I know that Allah has shown me. He has answered prayers that I made during Ramadan, and I was actually talking to Imam Tariq, too. It was about three solid people that really came into my life at different times with a different type of just listening to the thoughts. They didn't really do a whole lot of directing and telling, but they did when it was necessary, but just letting me speak and hear myself think, I was able to tap back into who I was as a person. And that was profound for me, and I'm just sharing it because I don't know. I just had gotten so caught up in someone else's, just in another reality, just trying to make sense out of something that was not going to make sense, and that I didn't focus on what I was supposed to be doing because it was just too much, just even trying to manage something that it was not for me to manage. That was a lost territory. And so I had to humble myself, put it in a lost hands, and get back to what I was supposed to be doing. And I just got work to do. And I'm grateful.
That's right.
So thank you also for your just being strong in who you are. Many times it's not what you say to a person, it's what you model and what you do and how you stay focused on you without the criticism, without taking sides of to any in particular person, place, or thing, but keeping that mindset that Allah is akbar and this is what Allah wants you to do. You don't worry about anybody else's task. Allah has them. They're not going to fail because you're not there. If Allah is showing you that something bigger, greater, more important, you cannot be Allah. When you try to be end-all, be-all you can be, and you're not, you're not looking at, you're paying attention to Allah's signs, but you're trying to fix everything That's not your job. That is Allah's job. Allah has every single person, a human being, in his hands, so to speak. He has a destiny for each person, and he has a purpose for each person. And even though we know that, sometimes you can be so, you know, you can just be so focused on just everything in your life you want to touch. You want it to be gold. You want to save the world. And because we are. We're all here tonight because we believe in remaking the world into a better place. And I truly believe, based on my upbringing and what I see, that charity begins at home. And, of course, we're going to go all out. I know I'm the type of person that I don't want to lose anybody in my family. I'm going all out. Even if you were in my family one time, I still want the best for you. I want, you know, I don't want, you know, I'm just like that. And it's hard for me to walk away. It's hard for me to give up things that I brought close to me. So that was a challenge to me. I had to realize that Allah says what? He is bigger, greater, more important. We all belong to Allah. And you have to put things in Allah's hands, because if Allah continues to show you and gives you signs and you keep trying to fix and go and after he's shown you over and over again, then he lets you hit those bumps and bruises like we talked about in the story of Oedipus. Because he says that's to the point of you're not that you're an intentional disbeliever, but in the Quran it says to those who pay attention to the signs. And if you continue to do something that Allah has shown you is not good for you, and you continue to do that, or it's not good for this where he wants you to be and what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not on the path that he's trying to take you and reaching those goals that he's given you to get to, because you're too preoccupied trying to do something that's his job. He is the only one who can make anybody do anything. He's the only one who can see into people's hearts, and he doesn't even make people do anything. He gives it to us, like you said, at a choice, and people have to do that based on their own disposition, their own nafs, their own upbringing, their values, and everything. So even with your own children, you know, you have to lay down that foundation, give them those principles, model the best that you can, keep them in prayer, and keep on moving. And so just like that, it with anything in your life, it's just hard for me to, you know, I want everybody. I don't want to lose anybody. But then I had to look in the Quran. Allah, you know, Allah lost people. Everybody didn't get on a boat with Noah. You know, so I had to start looking and really looking at those stories. I said, listen, you know, you can, what is it if you save the whole world and lose yourself? Because you're just trying to save the whole world and your boat is falling apart. No, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. You're off track. Get on track. And once you get on track and you stay on track and you get your mind and your heart in balance and in accordance with Allah will wipe out those feelings of doubt, and he will show you that, yes, he will validate it by opening doors that only he can open. So I thank you for everything that you have modeled. I thank you for your books that you sent. I thank you for the spirit of being a true believer and you continuing in this deen as one of the people that Allah inspires. And you're being true to yourself, and that's what it boils down to it. You're being true to yourself. You're being true to your books, and that inspired me. I said, hey, you better be true to yourself, because at the end of life's journey, you don't want to be looking back, shoulda, coulda, woulda. It's too many people that have what they call in social work midlife crisis. They get halfway through their life and they look back and say, oh, shoulda, coulda, woulda. No, we don't want to be like that. And I'm not saying that, you know, people who do that, there's anything wrong with them. There's always time. If you're woke, you're alive, you still have time to do what Allah inspires you to do. But we know Allah says when we return to him, that chapter is closed. We're going to be in a new reality, not saying that we won't be raised back up and have other opportunities to be great in some capacity or some reality. But on this side, it will be done once we return to Allah. So we want to strive to be grateful in all areas of our life. We want to continue to inspire others. We want to continue to be our personal best. And inshallah, I'm going to keep that a secret. Allah just said, be quiet. Wait a minute. Confirm all the details, and then you can share. But inshallah, I will be reaching out and inspiring and doing some connections in other areas. And I hope that Allah will allow, I'm pretty sure. I'm just going to keep it in Allah's grace and mercy and listen to what he's telling me right now. That was one of my challenges. Listen and do and move when he says move. And so may Allah continue to bless us. We're going to check our queue one more time and see if there is a question or comment.
If there is a question or comment and everybody is good, we're going to play a few station breaks, and we're going to find a short clip on Imam W.D. Muhammad tonight. He is phenomenal. We love him. We are grateful for his leadership. He is empowering. You can sit among anybody and know that you're somebody. And if that didn't, if Imam W.D. Muhammad, I know my dad played his lectures a lot when we were growing up, and that just made me stand tall. When I went to school, I didn't feel small around any nationality. I always felt because he spoke to that spirit, and he made us believe in that we can do anything in addition to, you know, what we were being raised in our households. But that spirit of Imam W.D. Muhammad is one of a winner. So all of us, we are grateful for Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh. So let's give him a great future, inshallah, and keep him in your dua as you and his family as you make your salat and give, be grateful and give gratitude back to the one who gave us so much, inshallah. We're going to play a short station break, and we'll be back.
Assalamu alaikum. What is your perception of God, revelation, religion, life, family, and more? Join us every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Lou Princess Aziz as she presents Keeping It Real right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. American Muslim 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference.
We speak your name.
Circumstances make the difference. Uh-huh. You put people in a bad circumstance like putting animals in a bad circumstance.
Right.
You can make a dog a real bad dog by putting him in real bad circumstance.
Right.
And you can make human real bad human by putting that human in real bad circumstances and not allowing them to come out of that real bad circumstances. Huh? Yes, you can make a monster out of an animal.
That's right.
By denying that animal a natural environment.
Right.
By crowding that animal, cheating that animal out of the expressions that God created for that animal to have. You cramp it up and deny it the expressions that God created for it to have, it will become a monster.
That's right.
It will frighten you to death when you open the door, open the little door and look in there and see what's there.
Right.
It's no more the same animal.
Right.
Foaming at the mouth and bleeding at the eyes and making strange sounds.
Right.
Yes. The same thing can happen to human beings. And science will tell us that. Modern sciences tell us that. That man is a product of his genetics, and he's a product of his environment. The two factors explain what he will do and what he will become. The two factors, not just one, but both of them together. So these are the things that we must understand. We must become more rational. We must become appreciators of beauty, natural resources and sciences and the global truths. We must become people who appreciate that more than we appreciate these little small things that we have attached ourselves to, like our little small racial hang-ups and our little small racial possessions.
Right.
Black man want to prove that he got more to his credit than the white man. Got some Afrocentric thinkers. They're trying to claim everything on the continent and Egyptian sciences and everything, claim it all so that they can say, oh, look, you're not so great, white man. We used to be greater than you.
Tell it.
Well, my religion tells me to keep on searching.
Yes.
Don't stop there.
Right.
Keep on going back. And if all of you keep going back, you're going to find your nobility in the dust.
Right.
Yeah. All of you. Yes. So there was a time, no matter how great you became in a certain period of time or history, if you keep going back, you're going to find the time when you were wearing no diaper.
That's right.
And we're making droppings all over the porch and the land. You didn't have a porch. You were just making droppings on the land.
That's right. Tell the truth.
And then have nobody to pick up those droppers.
That's right. That's right.
So when you backtrack, you stepped into your own dropper.
That's right.
Yeah. So every people can go backwards. That's why God wants us to remember, say, oh man, don't be fascinated by your accomplishments and forget your humble beginning.
Right.
Yeah. So remember that you were a feeble baby, weak, and was not able to do anything for yourself.
Right.
And it was God who provided
right.
a parent for you.
Right.
Directly from you or close to you or distant, God provided somebody to care for you when you couldn't care for yourself. Remember, great scientists, great theorists, great manager of the monies and resources of the nation.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to wear those Pampers.
Right, right.
You once wore Pampers.
Right, right.
And if you keep living around here, you might need a Pamper again.
Right.
So God says, see how he brings the life from a weak state. And then if he get bless you with old years, pretty soon you become feeble again.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Islam calls us to the whole truth, to universal perception, and to universal values. It promotes in us an understanding of the unity, continuity, and consistency of matter in its totality, so that we will identify as not only habitats of the earth, but as inhabitants of the universe. I know that's a challenge to the mind, to think of yourself as a citizen of the universe, but who knows what may be discovered one day by those space travelers who take so much of our taxes up there. Who knows what they might discover one day? They might discover another intelligent community out there. And if they do, then you will be, you'll have to relate yourself to not only the people down here, but also to intelligent beings up there, out there somewhere. So then you with them will be identifying as citizens of the universe. God wants us prepared to be citizens of this globe and to accept each other as having equal rights in the citizenship of the globe. But who knows, there may come a time for man and his scientific progress and technology that man may have to accept that he has a citizenship in the universe with other citizens of the universe. Islam also promotes an appreciation for beauty that we already have mentioned, and we should have aesthetic values. If we can put emphasis on these kinds of thoughts, this kind of appreciation, this interest, and have our students appreciate this line of reasoning, we will have more leaders coming up in our society in the different areas of interest, politics, culture, whatever, they'll be coming up in there with a more rounded, a more whole, a more complete human makeup and human sensitivity. And we will find that they will be advancing the beauty of our neighborhoods. We don't just need artists, they do a good job to make nice billboards, nice murals on the buildings. That's good. But we need artists in our neighborhood, in these blighted neighborhoods, to come up with a vision for just transforming the physical neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we don't need to be waiting on a white company, a white developer company to come into our neighborhood with a new plan for our neighborhood. Our neighborhood.
Right.
We shouldn't even be thinking of outsiders changing this neighborhood for us one day.
Right, right.
We should be studying our own neighborhood and should be preparing to change it for the better ourselves.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if the black man could start thinking big like that?
Yes,
say, look, we're tired of being shifted around everywhere and moving our demographics on this is here on the map of the city for so many generations. and then it's pushed over here, it's there for so many generations. And everywhere we go, we find that people been there before and they used everything up and left things in bad repair. We come in and pay more than they paid for the brand new stuff.
Right.
Aren't we tired of that? We should be tired of that. We should be coming up with the ingenuity, with the industry, with the vision to stop that kind of movement of our population. Where we move into an area and we say, this area is a good place. This is a good area. It's beautiful here. The environment is good. The natural scenery is good. The situation is good.
Yes.
We are near the river. Are we near the lake?
Right.
Are we near the main artery of the city?
Right.
This is a good situation for us.
Yes.
Let us pledge to not to move from here. Let us obligate our children and their children and their children and their children.
Right.
Never move
right.
from here.
Right.
And don't wait on other developers to come in and beautify your neighborhood or to change the bad blighted area and make it new and fresh again.
Right.
You do it yourself. You beat them to the punch.
Right. Yes.
And if anything, you move to a better plateau.
Right. Right.
You move to a better plateau.
Right.
And sell them your old neighborhood.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm not saying you should have a heart for doing that. But if you see better opportunities and you say, well, I think we should move the leaders of the town, they say, out of the community, they say, well, we've been living here for 10 generations, but there's a great opportunity over there. So let's move over there. Do it. But do it upon a plan, not impulsively, not just responding to new opportunities or to bad conditions. We need a life that's bigger than that. We need a life that is planned by the best minds of our people. And I believe that's the direction that we were going in.
Yes,
when we had great thinkers among us, who cared about our future, who were watchmen, watchwomen over the state of the African-American people. We had people looking to the future and trying to motivate us, influence us, sensitize us to come into more responsibility and to have a better life and a better future for our people. We need that again. But we need to do it as men and women appreciating universal truths and universal values. And in that way, we will not only be serving ourselves, but we will be serving other races, other ethnic groups as well. See, when you become a legitimate, bona fide member in the family of man, a real member in the humanity that God wants for man, when you become a member in that, you will become a brother, a sister, a leader for all people. And whatever you do, you won't do it selfishly.
Right.
Even your town, you will take into the consideration that we may have strangers coming this way.
Yep.
So you'll prepare the citizens of that town to respect strangers, to care for strangers, to protect the life and property of strangers, to provide for them if they're on the road and don't have a provision. See, this is what you would do if you come into that kind of humanity that God created for us. And that's what we want. This will permit us to progress as a world community or as members of a world community.
Alhamdulillah Rabbi Alameen, and that was our short clip, and we thank you that you were able to stay with us tonight. We're going to close out with a dua. May Allah continue to bless us to be grateful, and may we see you next week on Wednesday, inshallah, from 7 to 8 p.m. Technically, we are stopping at 8, but because we have a space beyond this show that will soon be filled, but we are blessed to have this extra time, so thank Allah for that. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم Ayrul Maktubi Alehim Walitali Amin. Oh Allah, give us the excellence in this life and the excellence in the life of the hereafter, and protect us from the punishment and the torment of the hellfire. Amin. If anyone's interested in being a show host, you can call 910-317-0297. You can also email us at info@cwsc.us. I know Sister Latifah had someone in the making, but we do have a spot, to my knowledge, that's still open. So if you're phenomenal, you have a show that you would like to present, go ahead and contact us and give us your idea, and inshallah, we'll look forward to hearing from you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.